Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, yeah, A-Dream, in the building, shout out to Bree.
What up, Bree?
And we finna go in, yeah. Look,
first.
Look, we came to break down a few topics here. So if you got time, sit and acknowledge it. It's positive, uplifting, and honest here. Keep your ears open and soaking all the words spoken. A couple of jokes to keep it fun, get your laugh on. And maybe a few pointers to get your cash on. See, Bree, she all about building. Straight up out the NY, Brooklyn in the building. All the way down to the southern states. West Coast on up to the Great Lakes. So you fragging echoes, so if you ain't fragile, through the net connection, we streaming you the message. So welcome to the life of Bree, breaking down relationships to the third degree.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life, how we live in life. From politics to the current events, economics to race, whether you're poor or you're rich.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life, how we live in life.
Coming to you live and streaming to all four points of the globe. It's your girl, Brooklyn born and Crown Heights raised. Living life and breathing life. It's Bree, baby.
Peace and blessings. It's your girl, Bree. And that's right, it's the Bree Life Radio Show. And it's Thursdays, and what do we do best on Thursdays? We freestyle. It is Freestyle Thursdays, and we are doing Freestyle Thursdays with a twist. We're doing something new. It's called Throwback Thursdays. And for Throwback Thursdays, we're playing music from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. You know, back in the day when you was in school and, let me see, could it be PS 161, could it be Leffers Junior High School, could it be PS 61, could it be 320 or 391? I am getting a lot of requests. We voted on two songs. We're going to play one during the first hour and the second. And then I'm going to throw in some between both hours. But I'm going to start the show with our Brooklyn national anthem. No one on Facebook, which I'm absolutely shocked about, both in the I Grew Up in Crown Heights page, my personal page, the I Am a Brooklynite page, I am shocked that no one voted for this one song in particular. I want to dedicate it to all those who I grew up with in Crown Heights. I want to dedicate it to my very good friend in New Jersey, Kevin, and all that I love on purpose.
Thank you.
That's right. Love is the message. You are back, and you have reached the Bree Life Radio Show. And it's Freestyle Thursdays with a twist. We're doing the throwbacks tonight on our commercial breaks. I want to send a few shout-outs to some people who recognize me out in the Facebook world. My very good friend that I went to 161 with, Alvin Singletary. I want to just say a big shout-out to him and thank you for friending me on Facebook. Peace and love. I want to send a shout-out to Ronald Badger. He gave me some great songs today. Unfortunately, not enough people voted on them, but they were some great songs. So you got to go to my page and look at that list and vote, because if you didn't, if you're not going to hear the song tonight, you're definitely going to hear it next week. We got to do some housekeeping. We got to say a big shout out to Timothy James and George Cook. Last night we had our show, The State of Education. And we got into some very provocative dialogue. And we're going to have a part two to that show. I'm thinking probably the day after the election we're going to have a part two. It's very necessary, because I'd be interested, hopefully, and that's right, people. One of my shout-outs, one of my freestyles for tonight is you got to get out and vote. And you got to spread the word around that we must get out and vote, because people fought for the right for us to vote. And this election is very important. It's just as important as the last elections of the last 20 years. There are some very important issues that are on the table, jobs being the most important, the economic situation being the second most important. And definitely, if you do not get out and vote, it is definitely going to impact what the world, what our world is here in New York and all across the nation is going to look like. So please, please, please get out and vote. So let's get into our freestyle. Tonight's freestyle, which shortly I'll be joined with our good friend and supporter of the Bree Life Radio Show, Carl Joseph. He'll be calling in shortly. He is the program director of Jericho Roads, which is a domestic violence advocacy organization. And he'll be calling in shortly to weigh in and give his opinion about the incident in Cleveland, Ohio, with the bus driver uppercutting the 25-year-old woman on the bus. I put it up on my page. Some people have weighed in. I'm going to read some comments that some of my listeners, some of my Facebook followers have shared with us. Also, I want to thank all of my listeners and supporters of the Bree Life Radio Show. Last week we had record-setting numbers for listenership, and that could not have happened without all of you. So, again, I want to thank you for my warm welcome back to the air after a three-month hiatus, and I just want to say that I'm glad to be back. I'm very glad to be back. I want you all to call in, 424-220-1862. That number again is 424-220-1862. You can follow Bree Life Radio at Bree Life Radio at Facebook and Bree Life Radio at Twitter. You can also send me show ideas, questions, concerns, and criticisms at BriLifeRadio@gmail.com. That's BriLife radio at gmail.com. I'm going to take a little break, and shortly we will be back with Carl Joseph from Jericho Roads.
it is important for you to get your healthy dose of the Bree Life Radio Show. Because when you miss the Bree Life Radio Show, you miss moments like this.
And of course, there's those are there that get mad for holding matrimony. They got mad for holding matrimony.
And this?
The reason why a certain group of women attract themselves to internet dating is so that they can lie, and lie.
We can't forget about this.
I had a stalker. Had to get an order of protection. Well, you got a woman that you've been with for 7 years, so you do it. You know what's up, right?
Come on, Bree. Don't stop it.
It's real talk about real life. Inhale and breathe light.
So let's take that deep breath in because we're about to go in.
It's the Bree Life Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. Catch us at blogtalkradio.com/ Bree Life.
And we're back. This is your girl, Bree. You have reached the Bree Life Radio Show. And tonight we are freestyling because it's Thursdays. That's what we do. And tonight we are going to be talking about one of my freestyles for tonight is the incident in Cleveland, Ohio, regarding the bus driver that uppercut the 25-year-old woman that was completely belligerent and out of order on the bus. I want you all to call in because I'm interested to know what you think, how you feel about that incident. If you're in earshot of me and you have access to the internet via your smartphone or the internet itself, go to YouTube or just go to a search engine and type in bus driver uppercuts woman, and you will see the video that took place. I'm not quite sure what date it was, but this was an incident like something I've never seen in my entire life. Just the fact that he uppercut her, and you could hear her jaw, you could hear her teeth clanking together from this uppercut. I want to know how you all feel about this incident. You can tell me by reaching out to me on Facebook at Bree Life Radio. Also on Twitter, you can chime in on Twitter. You can also join us in our Bree Life Radio chat room on blogtalkradio.com/ Bree Life. And the chat room window is opening up right now. So I'd be interested to know what you all think about this incident. Personally, myself, I have to just let you know how I feel. This situation is twofold. You have a man who looks to be well over 200 pounds. He's probably about 6 feet. And he uppercuts a woman that just by chance, I didn't throw this part in, I believe, because the video is a little unclear, I didn't quite see the slap that I heard that she exercised against him, but I did see her spit on the bus driver, and that's something else that she also did. She slaps and then spits on the bus driver while he's operating the bus. There are people on the bus. Firstly, she endangered the lives of everyone on the bus. Let's go back. Firstly, she was wrong as two left shoes because she got on the bus and she didn't pay her fare. So what does the bus driver normally say? Either you can't get on. If you proceed to go further back in the bus, he'll say pay your fare. And I believe that's what he said. that agitated her, and then she felt that she had to go further and further argue with him, and then she slaps him and spits on him. I want to know what you all think about that. How does one think that one would act if they got spat on? You know, me, myself, and those who are close to me have heard me say this term before. I believe I would have had an out-of-body experience. But did that warrant her being uppercut? A lot of people say yes. A lot of people say yes. I personally feel that perhaps she should have been lifted up and physically tossed off the bus. That's just my personal feeling. But I'd love to hear what you think. And you can call into 424-220-1862. That number again is 424-220-1862. Shortly, we're going to be joined with our friend Carl Joseph from Jericho Roads. He's the program director of this domestic violence organization. And although this wasn't a domestic violence incident, it was violence in every sense of the word. And I'm interested to know exactly what his take on it is, because I know from working with people who have been victims of domestic violence, some people don't understand that, you know, men are also victims of domestic violence, even though it's not it's not reported as much as if a woman was the victim. And this goes twofold. Is it okay that this bus driver retaliated the way he did? But we're gonna take a break for a moment, and when we come back, I can see that we're gonna be joined with a host of one of the shows that airs on the Bree Life Radio Network, and that will soon be coming back because they were on hiatus working on film projects. Alex Leith from R Extra will be joining us in a moment. So we're gonna take a break, and we'll be back shortly.
Never knew that what was wrong, oh baby, wasn't right. We tried to find what we had. Tears of sadness were all we shared. We were scared this affair would lead our love into
And we're back. There was definitely no love on that bus. This is your girl, Bree. This is the Bree Life Radio Show, and we're freestyling because it's Thursday. And without further ado, we're going to bring back, because he's a regular on the Bree Life Radio Show and Freestyle Thursdays, the host, the one half of the hosting family, is Alex Lee of Relationship Extra. He said, "Blessed."
What's up, baby?
How you doing?
I only got one thing to say to you.
You going to jail now.
You going to jail now.
You going to jail now.
Oh, my goodness.
I knew he was going to say that. That's my crazy
that video. You know I was going to say it. You knew
it. I knew he was going to say it. Alex.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. when you called me yesterday and you was like, Bree, you have to, on the freestyle, talk about that bus driver that uppercut the what? I hadn't even heard about it.
Right, yeah. That sucker got over two million hits on YouTube and counting.
Oh my goodness. And when you called me, as you know, I was having my truck serviced.
Mm-hmm.
And when I could finally get a moment, I ran into some more people that I went to school with.
Mm-hmm.
And I was telling them about what you suggested. And my friend Kim Dowling, which I'm going to give her and her husband a shout out. As a matter of fact, her and her husband just had twin girls. They're 6 months.
Oh, wow.
And guess what one of their names is?
Sabrina.
Well, it's actually Brianna, because had my son been a girl, that's what her name was going to be.
Oh, okay.
Oh, and they are so beautiful. So peace and blessings, and a big shout-out from Bree Life Radio to Kim Dowling. I know you're listening, sister girl, as you're studying, probably studying, because she's going to law school.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I just want to send her a shout-out to those two lovely babies and her husband.
Yeah, well, congrats to them. Congrats to them for me as well.
Yes, Alex, we stood on the sidewalk, and the three of us, we were so animated, especially with that you go into jail. I mean, he said it 2.5 times. He
right.
He didn't get the third time out because he was in full swing. By the time he released that punch under her jaw, and I mean, he lifted this woman who probably weighs 95 pounds soaking wet.
Right.
Off the ground. I mean, I showed everybody that video from the place where I was having my car service all the way back home. When I got home, told my mom, I said, you gotta see this. So I put the video on. My mother watched it, and the first thing she said was, she deserved to get her jaw cracked.
Wow.
I don't know how women see. I want women to call in because, see, this is such an inflammatory topic when it comes to a man hitting a woman. But you have to wonder, where does one draw the line where it's not acceptable, but understandable that a man who's being attacked by a woman is trying to protect himself.
Yeah.
Well, you know, what do you think?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, we're laughing and everything, and you know, we're making a big joke of it. I mean, in some ways it's funny, but in other ways it's sad.
Yeah.
And in other ways it's very disturbing. And the reason why it's disturbing is because a couple of things. One thing, when the man sat back down and everybody was screaming, that's a female, he said, I don't care. You act like a man, you get treated like a man. Okay? That's a clear indication to me that men are frustrated all over this country. Okay? And they're frustrated because you have a certain segment of women. Okay, you have a lot of women out here who are just pure ladies, so I'm not including them in this.
Uh-huh.
But you have a certain segment of women who want to be roughnecks, they want to wear boxer drawers, they want to wear saggy sweatpants, they want to wear wife beaters, they want 100 tattoos, they want to do all this stuff and pretend as though they're men.
Uh-huh.
And that they can confront us physically and defeat us. Something in their minds is telling them, you can beat a man. They actually believe it. That's the sad thing. Okay?
Well, pause right there because we're being joined now with our good friend to the Bree Life Radio Show, Carl Joseph. He is the program director for Jericho Roads, which is a domestic violence advocacy organization, and I want to bring him on at this time so that he, you and him can have some dialogue about this and allow him to weigh in.
Okay.
Hello.
Paul, peace and blessings.
Same to you.
Welcome to the freestyle.
Thank you.
You're more than welcome. So,
hey, Paul, how you doing? This is Alex.
Hey, Alex, how you doing?
All right, doing great.
So, Carl, you know what we're talking about. This is the freestyle for the first hour of the Bree Life Radio Show. You know that after I saw the video that Alex suggested that I watch, and he suggested that I make this a freestyle topic because this is a part of pop news right now. Since, as Alex has shared with us, that this video has really gone viral. It's received 2+ million hits so far.
Mm-hmm.
What's your take on it?
Well, she was wrong for getting on the bus without paying her fare, bottom line. And she had no right to hit hitting the dude in the face. And he's doing his job. But like he said, she bullied him. She tried to bully him, which is a form of violence. And he's just doing his job. And she was, I don't care how mad you are, what you're going through, get off the bus and walk. But to sit there and sit there and hit him, she was out of order. Now him retaliating. Now, if I recall, it was he took her off the bus. He stopped the bus.
He pulled the bus over and clocked.
Right.
He pulled the bus over. He said. You going to jail now. You going. He lifted her off the ground with that punch.
Okay.
Now, if
it had been an initial reaction of him hitting her as she hit him, I would say okay, but he waited.
See, she didn't even just hit him. She spat on him.
Right. So he felt the need to retaliate. So maybe next time, and in terms of that, I would say good, because maybe the next time she'll think twice before she hit a man like that.
Right. And the minute it was a delay from the time he got up, because the bus was in motion, he had to pull the bus over before he got up.
Right. She endangered lives.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. So in terms of how I feel about that, I don't have a problem if a woman lays her hands on a man and then he hits her back. I have no problem with that. I think he should hit her to make it so that she will never want to lay her hands on him again. So have second thoughts about that. Because like Alex said, they have these women that think they can literally take on a man. And I'm like, are you crazy?
Yeah, and the important thing to remember here, Carl and Bree, is that it's the messages they're getting. Now, I'm not even going to talk about the guy, the lowdown scumbag guy who just comes
right,
in from a hard day.
Woman, right, that's a whole other thing. But like, that's very true. The message that I think a lot of women get, even today, in terms of music that you hear out here today, is completely, I can do it on my own. I don't need your help. You know, even
I can whip your ass.
Right, and in terms of, let's say like a song like Beyonce's song, To the Left. Let's say a song like My Rocks, I Got It, I Did It On My Own. You're always saying, oh, I don't need you. That's basically what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think the problem with that is there's no balance.
Around, we could also flip that around and see, I don't listen to, how could I say this without sounding old-fashioned.
You are old-fashioned.
You are old-fashioned, right.
Glenn's mama is not old-fashioned, okay? Check yourself.
Yes, you are.
No. But I don't listen to that music because it's not music. It's
no,
like some simulated
concerned.
They throw some awful, disrespectful, degrading words about women. I mean, it's
right.
Not, you know, I think that the women's movement had, and someone said to me about Helen Reddy's song.
That was me.
I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar. You know,
right.
From that era, from the 1970s to now, women feel like they've had to celebrate freedom.
I don't have a problem with you celebrating,
freedom.
But any truth taken to the extreme becomes error.
Okay,
anything,
and you're absolutely
taken,
right. And
anything
that
taken to the extreme
that,
becomes error, and that's what
that
you see today.
For those so-called artists, music artists, that put what they think is music.
Right.
The
bottom line
air.
Is there's no balance, and even in
no.
terms of domestic, even in terms of domestic violence, we have gone to women's organizations and said we are men that want to stand with you, and they reject us. And I'm like, okay, I understand that men have been the perpetrators, men have been the ones who have done the abuse to you, but you can't put us all across the board that we're all the same way. That's insane. So that's telling me. You don't really want to solve the problem of domestic violence. You can't do it without us. I don't care what anybody says. You cannot do it without us involved. Because it takes a man to talk to another man. A woman, is you want to sit here and deal with the women and the children. I don't care why you do that. If you let him loose, he's going to find somebody else to do it to. So if you either become our ally and let us work with you in terms of the whole family structure, but don't just deal with the women and children. Because domestic violence is never going to be solved.
Mm-hmm.
And what I find is that these women have become such extremists where they hate the man to the point where it's even going to the fact that they go to the other, the same sex. I'm like, well, what you doing? You're totally emasculating. And then the whole thing with a lot of this is emasculating him. Now, I will say this, and I will be very honest with you. The whole feminist movement that happened, and women, I am woman, hear me roar, is because women got tired of being mistreated.
That was my point.
So my point of the matter is men have reaped what they have sown when it comes to women. But the problem is the women have taken it too far.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where you don't even want the men, you want to go to a sperm bank and have a baby and don't want the father involved.
Right. Craziness.
That is extreme. I said, come on. That child, I don't care what you say, is going to say, where is my daddy? They're going to ask for their child.
That is compounded now by a lot of the women becoming the primary breadwinners in the household. So that's being compounded with that.
Right, because I know, Marie, I've seen this. I see people dating, and I've seen women who are very strong-minded, have their own money, but no relationship is going to work if you're not needed.
Right, that's true.
A relationship works when both. When I need you and you need me, if you think you don't need me, then it's not going to work.
Right.
And I think a lot of that is so perpetuated in young girls today that I don't need you. And I'm like, yes, you do. Because there's certain things you just cannot do.
Right.
Well, here's what I want to do. I want us to come back to those points that you're making, but I don't want us to vary too far off of the current freestyle. So I want to ask you both what you think about what I'm about to say, but I also want the listeners to call in, and they can do so at 424-220-1862. That number again is 424-220-1862. I want you to tell me, what do you think about the bus driver being reprimanded by the bus company? Do you feel that him being suspended was warranted? He's currently facing, I believe, termination from his job.
Well, I don't know the laws. I don't know what the rules are as far as what a bus driver's behavior is supposed to be in terms of getting attacked. But you do hear stories a lot. That's not the first time you hear about someone attacking a bus driver.
In terms of being rude,
when a person gets on the bus and they attack them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, I know because you're from Brooklyn, Carl, right?
Right.
And Alex is also from Brooklyn by way
of. You hear these stories all the time, right?
But a few years ago, and this was a personal friend of mine, her husband, who was a bus driver on the Utica Avenue bus line, was stabbed to death.
On
the bus.
Well, my thing too is that if him attacking that girl, after, you know, him physically hitting her, I don't know what could have happened. You didn't know what kind of weapon she got. You don't know what she got on her.
Personally,
right.
my biggest thing beyond her being wrong as two left shoes. I don't know how the hell she was even able to get on the bus with her feet crossing each other.
Right.
She,
and do I think she
hit him while operating the bus. She spat on him while operating the bus. So me, you, and Alex could have been on the bus. A bus driver gets slapped and spat on, and he loses control of the vehicle. Now
what?
We all jacked up. That is the biggest. You said what?
You're all with a beater.
Oh, please. Listen, good mama got to get home safely.
But I agree in terms of I don't think he should have been suspended. No, I don't agree with that.
You don't think what?
I don't think he should have got suspended.
Yeah. Let me make a point here to you and Bree that I think is very important. He probably should have got suspended following a pending an investigation. That's probably protocol. But I don't think he should lose his job based on this incident.
Also, I don't think he should lose his job. Not at all.
Not based on this incident. So,
like you said, it's protocol, but yeah.
It was originally thought that she was a teenager. But this is a 25-year-old woman, it turns out. So this is hood rat-dom at its finest.
All right.
Yeah. Hood rat-dom.
Okay.
You know, this goes back to what I was talking about before, that we create angry people in this world, and then we leash them out on the world, and other people got to deal with them. And unfortunately, mm-hmm. when you're angry and you're dealing with situations, I mean, I see people do some crazy stuff in the street, and I said to myself, you know, people are angry, and at any given moment, they're going to break.
Right.
You know, and the thing about it for me is that even when we're driving and you see people acting crazy, I said, go ahead, man. Go ahead, because he got a chip on his shoulder. But that's what I'm saying in terms of this world today, we got a lot of angry people.
Yeah, the economy, everything got people mad.
Right, people are angry, they can't feed, they can't, you know, it's all of these factors into people walking around angry, and someone just does something to trigger it.
Right. Right, everybody has a trigger.
I don't know what her situation, her financial situation was. I don't know what she's dealing with at home. But she walked on, it doesn't justify it, but you don't know what she was going through when she walked in that bus. He could have said something that just triggered something in her.
Well, supposedly she was on her way to work.
I don't know what kind of job she got dressed like that.
She had a white beater on.
Right.
What kind of job she has with being on the way to work with a wife beater?
Right, exactly.
And then,
she shouldn't have hit him. Maybe she approached it differently and said, sir, I really don't have the money. And could you help, you know? Because I've seen bus drivers say, people, go ahead. But I'm saying in terms of he said, no, you can't get on the bus, then she should have just gotten off.
Well, you know what, Carl? I need a minute to make this point. Because it's very important. I want to make this point without being interrupted, because this is going to go to the core of it.
Okay?
Let us all sit back. E.F. Hutton.
Sit back for a minute, because I'm going to go to the core of this thing here.
E.F. Hutton is about to speak.
Right. Okay? When the man said, and I said this a little earlier, so I'm going to expound on it. When the man said, you jump up like a man, you get treated like a man. That is a direct source of not just him, but men in general right now being very frustrated with certain women's behavior. And the reason why women are behaving this way is because they're getting these messages from powerful public figures. And the message is, no matter what a woman does, there's never, ever a reason for a man to hit him, whether out of anger or for any other reason. They're getting these messages from Oprah, from Greg Mathis, from Judge Joe Brown, from Dr. Phillishit, that I call him, because that's what he is, okay, from all of these different sources. And when a woman hears that, no matter what, that's very powerful. She's thinking, soon she hears that, she's like, no matter what I do. So that means I could slap his mama, I can abuse the children, I could spit on him, I can cut him, I can throw boiling water, but no matter what I do, he can't touch me. So now they're running amok. Nobody's protecting or defending men now. against these women who are running amok. Men are frustrated, so they're going, look, I know you can't kick my ass, so why are you acting like this? So they get frustrated and check her jaw because she's not going to know when to shut up. If you look at the video, she had ample opportunity just to shut up. She wanted the confrontation. She wanted the physical battle to the point where she went and touched him. Okay?
She might have wanted some money, Bree wanted to go to city. You don't know what her motive was.
What her motives are. But the point, she's on the bus dressed like a man. Wife beater, baggy sweatpants, boxer drawers. These are the images that women look at and go, okay, I'm a bad MF. I can go up against any man, blah, 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 because they're getting these messages from their idols.
I mean, based on how she was dressed, that she was kind of manly anyway, so she probably think, I could take this on. I mean, I see girls punch. I see young girls fighting with teenage boys their age. I'm like, dang, they willing to stand up? They willing to fight this dude, you know what I'm saying? And
you
I'm like,
what?
Okay. But
you know,
let me go back to that. But you're right. I think you're absolutely right. The messages that are being sent out here that I can do whatever I want to you and you can't touch me as a man. And that's
right.
Why you have a lot of men organizations. There's a whole Facebook page called the Protection of Men because the men have risen up and said, you want to keep my kid. You're going to accuse me of beating you. You're going to accuse me of domestic violence. You're going to accuse me of all these things, and you try to take my kids away from me, and you're the one who's the abuser.
And you know what, Carl? You know what that's doing? It is invalidating women who are seriously abused, who have really
right.
been raped, who have really
True.
Been beaten. You
so
are invalidating. You are invalidating those women's
point,
claims.
Man.
Yeah, you invalidate those women's claims by playing with the system. You know how many
right.
women go out here and get fake protective orders, file fake rape charges, do these
right.
things out of revenge. But is that fair to a woman who really been locked
really
in the basement for 3 days and raped?
You're absolutely
is that
correct.
Fair to her?
Absolutely correct.
Yeah, absolutely correct. Because then when she's truly raped, they don't take her seriously. They're like, oh yeah, okay.
Right.
But it's
I mean,
true. So the people who are abusing the system make it bad for those who are truly been affected.
And the women who have really been abused, really been
right.
raped, to stand up against those women because they're invalidating them.
Right. Yeah, I absolutely agree with you.
You know,
well, in a lot of states, when domestic violence when an accusation of domestic violence is being filed, there's such a thing as discovery, and some local municipalities don't always exercise, and Carl, I'm sure that you can chime in on this point, they don't do enough due diligence to find out all the facts of the allegation.
No, that's true. I can absolutely probably agree with that one. They're supposed to.
Because that's a very serious thing to accuse somebody of.
Right.
And in most states, I'm not familiar with all the states in the United States, but in most states that's considered, and I believe it should be all states now, it's considered a felony if you are found guilty of it.
Well, the thing about it, even if in New York City, I know alone, if there's an inkling of accusing someone of domestic violence, a report must be written out. Even if it's not true, they must still
write
the report by law. They have
right.
the right that this girl, this woman called and said thus and such and such. It may not be true, but they got to keep
Carl, this is going to be very interesting. You know how you stop that? This is how you stop that. And I propose this to people that I know in politics or whatever. This is how you stop that. Any woman that plays with a PPO or that plays with rape allegations or anything like that, let's take a rape allegation, for instance. Okay, the man is facing 20-25 years if he's found guilty of these charges. Come to find out, you were just mad at him because he got another girlfriend or whatever the reasons are that you're mad at him. Okay, now you should be brought up on charges and face the same amount of time he would have gotten if he was found guilty. Okay, That'll put a stop to that nonsense. Because
right.
too many
I
women
don't know
are playing.
And I'm saying, regardless if it's a man or a woman, I'm not saying this because I'm a woman. I'm not saying this because of any particular reason. I think what we should do, I think the whole justice system has to, there has to be a reformation, a reformation of that system. And I really feel strongly that, you know, your crime should be, the punishment should be applicable to your crime. We know right now in the legal and the justice system, especially with people of color, they wind up getting locked up and sentences. And we could have our very good friend Lula B from Lula B Live come on and give us.
Who has a radio on? I'm getting feedback.
Who has a radio on in the background?
Yeah,
okay.
That's
call. Okay.
Okay, we could have our very good friend and colleague from Blog Talk Radio, Lula B Live. She talks about this every Monday at 6:30 Central Time
mm-hmm.
about how the federal justice system incarcerates men of color, women of color, and their sentences for the crimes that they might have been accused of wrongfully or justifiably so. I'm tongue-tied tonight. I don't know why. Is not matching up with the crime. It's very imbalanced. It's very. There has to be something done about that. So when you say, Alex, and I'm saying this in love, okay,
mm-hmm.
that a woman or anybody who falsely accuses a man.
Mm-hmm.
of domestic violence, and they find that the allegation was false, that it was based, the basis and the foundation of it was because the woman was mad or scorned, that they
mm-hmm.
should receive the same type of punishment should that man have been found guilty. That's a little severe.
No, it's
I
not.
I do think that
no,
there's...
No, it's not.
That, wait,
I,
wait.
I disagree.
Let me finish. I do think that there's a thing as such as perjury. You know, and there should be levels of perjury, and there should be appropriate sentences or even what fees.
You know why I disagree?
What's associated with the crime? You know, it's not going to make the system better if we keep tacking on time to people, because you were just on the show last night saying that Dale is a multi-billion-dollar business.
It is.
Right.
Why make these manufacturers of all these products that these judicial institutions or these institutions, penitentiaries and just, you know, county jails are utilizing richer by putting people in there for, you know, sentences that just are not balanced for the crime that they've been found guilty of.
Well, Bree, here's why I disagree. Carl, you still there?
Yeah.
Okay. This is why I disagree, which is I understand what you're saying, but I'm going to tell you why I disagree.
Mm-hmm.
When a woman accuses a man of rape based on her own selfish, angry, bitter motivations. Even when it comes out that she filed false charges, that this man is innocent, he never did it, so forth and so on, she just rides off into the sunset like, oh, well, he didn't do it. Okay, fine. But what happens is there's no punishment for her, number one. Number two, this man is still vilified and ostracized in the public because even though he was found innocent, the point is still there that, oh, wait, he was accused. What if he really did do it? The point of being accused of something like that stains your reputation. It stains your record, just being accused of something like that. So she just rides off into the sunset like everything's fine to go up to the next dude and falsely accused. That's not fair at all, and I disagree with that.
Well, I appreciate your opinion. I just don't agree with it. And mm-hmm. we do that on the Bree Style.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Do that on a Bree Life radio show. You know, that's okay.
Yeah.
What do you think about that call? I mean, you deal with the women and the men that have been subject to domestic violence. You've gone to court. You've watched other situations. I mean, what do you say about this?
I don't really know how you correct it, you know, because it's such an imbalance with everything as far as I'm concerned in the justice system, where I've seen women, the man is the one who's abusing, and the father goes and takes his sister, tries to claim the kid, tries to do all of it. You know, and I'm like, but you're the one who's been beaten up. And then the other way you see, it also depends who the judge is also. You see, that's why you have to, in my opinion, the judge got to be somebody objective. If you know the judge who have a domestic violence background or came out of, you don't put them up there. So you need, mm-hmm. you need to know who's up there. You need to know who the judges are. I mean, you got jurors who've been through domestic violence. Do they tell them that they've been through all of that to be objective when you see a case?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's a good point.
That's
what goes back to
me
saying.
I apologize if I'm repeating something, but then that's what we have to look at, too. Like you said, how are jurors being selected? And are the prosecutors and the defense attorneys doing proper due diligence to investigate the background of jurors? How does that whole process work? See, that's something for another show. And we might even have to have Lula be on, because I'm sure she's had some interaction and she's talked to judges. She's been in contact with defense attorneys as well as prosecutors. So we might have to have her on as a help me tonight, please.
You know, I'm thinking in terms of like D.A. Hines, right? I don't know D.A. Hines. You know what I'm saying? He started a whole domestic violence thing in his office because his father beat his mother. But I'm saying,
right.
Can you be objective? If you were in a court of law, could you be objective? Let's just say a woman does accuse a man of domestic violence and you believe her. What if it's not true? You know what
right.
I'm saying? Even
that's
my whole point. There are attorneys that become attorneys because they grew up in domestic violence and they want to help people with domestic violence.
Right. So they can't be objective.
Can you be objective?
Mm-hmm. Right. It's the same thing. Listen, we just talked about, you know, racial bias and these different things in the court. Bree just brought that up, which is a wonderful point, because I want to make this point with the gentleman saying, you know, can they be, you know, unbiased when they go in there? Okay. So here's the issue. If you have a judge who's Caucasian, okay, so now he's a grown man who happens to be a judge, but he was once a little boy, grew up in a racist household his whole life, didn't interact with black people. The only black people he saw was on the news in handcuffs, okay? His parents used the N-word throughout the house his whole life. And that's how he grew up, okay? Now he's a judge.
Right.
Think of a black person standing in front of him. What
right.
do you think his mind, you think with all of his training, with all of his law books, with everything he's read and got the degrees, you think he can throw everything his parents taught him out the window just like that? I don't think so. Okay? And this is a lot of times what's happening within the legal system. They can't separate how they were raised and taught from what the real situation is.
Right.
Okay?
The minute
they come in and see that person, oh, this is how they act. He's guilty because I know how they are. I was raised knowing how they are.
Well, I want us to take a break for a moment. I want us to inhale and breathe light. I think I need to because I'm a little tongue-tied tonight. I apologize. And we're going to bring on another caller from 917-747 in a moment. So we're going to take this quick break, and we'll be right back in less than a minute.
The movie Think Like a Man is a comedic look at how gender communications is highly nuanced. For me, the operative word in the title is think. We just don't think. We don't think before we speak.
We don't think about how things sound.
We don't think
about how others feel.
While the debate may continue to rage if men and women can think like each other, I think if we gave a little thought to just one thing, what if we could just
think.
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 A
about one small thought, what if we could just care, as in care about how the other person thought about how we think about them? What a tongue twister. Today's episode has been brought to you by the upcoming blockbuster movie, Act Like You Care. What do you think? This has been Mark Said It in Under a Minute.
Under a Minute.
What do you think? And we're back. And it's the Bree Life Radio Show. It is Freestyle Thursdays. And I'm joined with two loyal supporters of the Bree Life Radio Show, whether it's whether we're freestyling or we're talking about something provocative. We're joined tonight with Carl Joseph from Jericho Roads, a domestic violence organization. And we're joined with our host and brother-at-arms, Alex, 50% of the Relationship Extra Show on the Bree Life Radio Network. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining in on my freestyle tonight, which we're talking about the incident in Cleveland, Ohio, with the bus driver that uppercut the 25-year-old passenger. But without further ado, I know exactly who this is. This is my very dear friend, Chris, from Brooklyn, New York.
Hello, Bree. How you doing?
Christopher.
Yeah, long time no hear.
Love it. Thank you for calling in. You know you've been listening.
Yeah, I've been listening for a little while. I just wanted to say one thing. I think that there should be some mandatory sentencing for people who lie on other people. I don't care whether it's men lying on women or women lying on men. I think it should be some mandatory sentencing. And I think that the crux of why that would
be... Chris, could you do it for us? Could you do it for us, please?
Because what it would do is
You know what I'm talking about.
No.
Because they lie.
No.
Come on, baby, do it for me.
They do lie. I'm not going to do all that tonight. The fact is that they do lie. And the fact is that if they had to worry about sentencing, you know, some mandatory sentencing, let's just say even if they said, if you get caught jerking off the system and you're going to do a year in jail if you tell this story.
Agreed.
What's going to happen is that they're not going to do it. because they ain't that mad. As long as they know that they can walk away hands-free and don't even care about it, laugh about it with their friends, look what I put him through, he went through this and that, or look what I put her through. I've seen it happen.
Thank you for saying that. Because I was wondering if this was going to be a biased or unbiased statement.
Oh, no. I saw a situation personally with my own eyes, and it was the man called the police on his girl and said that she stabbed him with a knife. And he had his hand all bandaged up. There was no blood. There was no nothing. And while the police are checking her, frisking her for the knife, he's over the police's shoulder whispering to her, I got you. See, I told you I could get you. So it wasn't until a few minutes later when she brought it up to the police officer that he's not even supposed to be near me because I have an order of protection against him, that they turned around and looked it up. They went in the car. You know, the police in New York have computers in their cars. They found the order of protection and locked his ass up.
Mm-hmm.
And now, 5 minutes later, the one who was the victim is the one that's laying in the back of the police car trying to kick the windows out. So, and he almost got his behind maced behind that. Now, the joke of the system is that I saw that clown 3 days later. Okay? So now here you are. You run the risk of getting this girl in trouble, running her through the system.
Right.
And you're just joking around because you're mad because she won't say hi to you when you walk down the street anymore.
Uh-huh.
And then you get caught in the lie, and you're walking around 3 days later. Now, if he would have got him a year in jail and he had to think about that in terms of telling this fib that would have cost him a year of his life, I bet you he wouldn't have told a fib. That's all I'm saying.
I got an interesting story, Chris, and this happened to me personally.
Okay.
I had an ex. She had a propensity for calling the police for anything. She just loved wasting the police's time. Okay.
Okay.
So we got into an altercation one night. She antagonized the altercation. She grabbed a knife, and she did cut me. In her cutting me, she got slapped and pushed. Okay?
Okay.
She runs to the phone. She calls the police. Police come to the house. Right. She meet the police at the door. Oh, he did this, that, and the third, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Police come to ask me what happened. I told the police what happened. They said, okay, we got to take you downtown because she called, and we got to take you this and that. I said,
right.
She cut me, though. And so she's like, that's right, get him out of here, take him out of here, blah, blah, blah. And the cops are like, oh, man, but he's bleeding, though. He claims you cut him, so... if he go, you have to go too. And she's like, why I gotta go? Why? Now she's scared, right?
Right.
So she wants to see them drag me off, but
right.
Now that she's on the other foot, she's scared. So
the
cop said, well, ma'am, he's bleeding. You have to go. So he said, sir, what do you want to do? If he don't go, you don't go. I said, if she'll drop it, I'll drop it. And she didn't want to go to jail. So she said, okay, leave it. But see, if it was just
that
me,
that makes my point.
She'd have let me go and sit up in there. It would have been the same one coming to bail me out.
Yeah. Well.
Boy, you had it like that.
That's it.
Because who would have let you?
What's the fun? There's so many different scenarios. So many different. It's about how people think.
Well,
yeah.
There should be some mandatory law. If you lie, you go to jail. Bottom line.
Yeah. If you are found out that you are fabricating a story, just I don't care what your reason is. If you just make up a story in your head because you bumped it 5 minutes ago, you need to go to jail because you're inconveniencing everybody involved with it.
Right.
You're wasting the system's time. You're wasting that cop's time that could have been
ruining somebody's life.
Could have been doing something. He could have been on the corner saving somebody from really getting messed up. What was that?
I have no idea.
Anyway, the point is, it's just a waste of the city tax dollars and everything else. And you need to be accountable for it, man.
I absolutely agree with that. Because so many people abuse the system and lie. And like we said before, you experienced this in taking you to court and all this kind of stuff, and you're the one who hit me. No, you need to go to jail. You need to have some repercussions for your lying. Absolutely.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that
100%. I believe that there should be punishment. But I don't think a person should sit in jail years lying.
Breathe.
No,
hold on, Chris.
If you know the law, if you know that you could do a year in jail
for doing
this lie, and you do it, then you go to jail.
You can't give them no month, because that ain't going to work. It's not going to work. If you know the detention is a year, it would sure deter you to have to not do this, because if I go to jail for a year, I can't afford to be in there.
I believe that's reasonable. I don't think that you should go to, I mean, Alex, really? 20 years?
Well, you know
years?
What, Chris?
Yeah.
I want to welcome my co-host, Fred Sable. She's joining in conversation. Sure that she's going to have something to say, but I'm going to allow Alex to finish his...
my point. Yeah. What, you know what, and I'm going to address to Chris, because Chris, I don't know if he was listening over the phone before. But
yeah.
I
someone have feedback.
Somebody got feedback? Is that Red or is that who's that?
No, not me.
I don't have any feedback. I'm fine.
Yeah, I'm good too.
Okay.
Okay. What I'm saying is, if you knowingly accuse somebody of rape, domestic violence, any kind of crime, if you knowingly do that, and you know you're lying, and you know it's false, okay, and the sentence for this person, if they're convicted of the crime that you're lying about, is 15, 20, 25 years. Okay, that's if their life on the line, and you playing, okay?
Right.
So if they go to jail, they're doing 25 years for something they didn't do. Come to find out that you're lying, you just ride over to the sunset. Oh, well, I was lying. Okay, no big deal. He's off. Is that how that's supposed to go, Bree?
Yeah, well, this is my point in a nutshell, is that I heard that, and I don't believe that they should be required to do 25 years or nothing like that. But I believe that these cowards and these emotional wrecks of people that do these kind of things.
Yeah.
And if you offered them 6 months in jail, if you offered them 6 weeks in jail, these cowards would not tell those lies. They would not tell those lies because they ain't built for it.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, anybody who tells a lie like that, tells a lie like that is hiding behind the system. You know, you ain't got your own back, so you want to get the boys in blue. You know, you want to be in the gang without getting jumped. All
right? Yeah, and the thing about it, lying can get people killed. You lie, people go out and shoot somebody based on somebody telling them a lie.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've been joined recently by my co-host, Red Sable. I want to welcome her to the show. I want everyone to say peace and blessings to my sister-in-arms. And I would like for her to chime in on this topic tonight to get another female's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Please, Red.
Well, good evening, Bree. Good evening, gentlemen. I know I hear Alice's voice, and I think I hear Carl. I hear another voice. I don't know who that is, but good evening for you, too.
That's our brother, Chris.
Oh, hi, Chris. Okay, so I think a whole lot of things because I've seen both sides of it, so I understand. I don't know, and I cannot remember her name, but years ago there was a young woman who accused someone of rape, and it was such a huge thing that was in the newspaper.
Anna Brawley.
Remember that story? Not only was she saying that she was raped, but she was held captive and all these other things happened to her, and she was left in a dumpster and all this other stuff, and then it turned out that there was some big old fabrication going on, and she was publicly humiliated. I don't think that she did it in time, but the public humiliation behind what she had to go through because of what she said based on
Tawana Brawley.
Story. Right. That's what he just said, yeah. Tawana Brawley. So based on all the fabrications of that story and the public humiliation that she had to suffer, you would have thought that that should have been an alarm to everyone else who tells stories. But at the end of the day, someone is going to lie about something one way or another because people are vindictive and vicious. We are not built to take our punishment, suck it up, learn from it, and then do better. We are built to be cowards and to hide behind our vengeance ways and exert revenge on the person that we know we wronged, but we're going to do it anyway. Why? Because we are so hurt and confused and broken ourselves that we don't know how to go about getting help. So we're just going to continue to hurt you because it makes you feel better, because you'll continue to pay us attention even though we know that we were wrong. But we're going to do it anyway. Exactly. And so I've seen the cycle on both ends. I've seen girls who lie about all kinds of things that men do to them that haven't. I've seen girls claim they're pregnant, and then girls who claim that they was touched in some way, and he spiked my drink, and just because she wanted to get back at him because she slept with him, and then he want her, then she goes back and says, oh, but he took it, I didn't give him anything. So I've heard all kinds of things. I've also heard where guys would make up all kinds of stories, too. So
and what's so, And just off the side, you know, all of this that we're talking about, the bottom line is talking about people's insecurities and that people just don't accept the fact that when you go, anytime you go with anybody, marry somebody, get related, it's a risk.
Yes, it
it's
is.
It's a risk. It's quote unquote love taking a risk. Love is a risk. And what people don't understand is that no matter who they are, they want to cheat and they want to go see somebody else. You can't stop them from doing that.
Of course not. But that's
to go fuck wild
and start taking revenge and start doing all those things. I'm like, what purpose does it serve? You feel better?
Mm-hmm.
But what purpose does it serve? Tell me, what real purpose does it serve?
Mm-hmm.
Your ego?
Mm. I mean,
that's
about it.
Think about these young people out here, and because I stepped on your sneaker, I'm killing you now because you didn't say sorry. Maybe I didn't feel me step on your sneaker.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm talking about in terms of, I mean, Bree, this is such a deep thing. I mean, it's so deep-rooted, it's so deep-seated that these are all the surface stuff, but the real issue is the root and cause of all of this. You understand
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying?
Yes.
I mean, that's the real truth about all of it. It's the root cause of why you, like I said, I had a friend of mine, he wanted, when he found out his woman was cheating on him, he wanted to go on the internet and spread all this stuff about her. And I said, stop.
Mm-hmm.
I said, that's your ego is bruised. But I'm
right.
I told straight up, I said, let me tell you something. You met her like that already. She didn't just become that because you got into a relationship with her. She was like that before you met her. And he had to stop and think. I said, you told me this ain't the first time she cheated on you. If you saw it once, first time on her, second time on you.
Yes, absolutely.
But he wanted to go and lash out and destroy her reputation. I said her reputation is already destroyed because everybody knows she's already not, I'm not going to use the negative word, but she's a hoe. But my point in that is, no, I mean, it's true. But the point of the matter is people don't get that way after the relationship. They were there like that before that. The problem is either you ignored the sign or didn't see them. But let me tell you something. Everybody shows.
But in fairness to that statement, I must cut in. In fairness to that statement, I don't believe all people come to a relationship just be in that particular way that is somewhere dormant in you. I think sometimes that might be applicable in certain instances, but I also believe that people can also get pushed to a limit.
I agree with you on that also, because I will say this. Let's give a story of a woman who's kind of an angry type of woman, and she's with her husband, and the husband is trying all he can to try to make the relationship work, right? Like I ain't giving no names because this is a situation in my own family, right? And when they got married, she used to say some things, and I'm like, that ain't gonna last if she keeps doing like that. You know, I would say, well, you know, this is your husband. Why don't you help him? You know, he's the first time he's in the family. You know, help him with his dish and get his food. He can get it himself. That's what she said. I said, well, he's new. You know, we want to show some hospitality, right? And then another time, we were at another sister's wedding, and she wanted to take a picture with my grandmother. But the sister I said whose marriage not going to work. I said, and she grabbed my grandmother, and her husband said, I want to get in the picture. She said, hold up. This is my grandmother in front of everybody. So I said, let me shut up and mind my business because this ain't my marriage. But I sat there and she humiliated him in front of everybody. And I said, I don't know what he's going to say to her when he gets home, but if it was me, when I got home, I wouldn't do it then. I said, don't ever do that to me in public again. Well, my point of the matter is now the situation is they not together. He went and stepped out on her. So my point is everybody's looking at him as this bad person that he stepped out on my sister. And I was like, hold up. I said, did you ever stop to think maybe she pushed him out there?
Hmm.
You know the song, The Cleanup Woman? I said, maybe he found comfort in somebody else who treated him nicer. Because publicly...
Listen, hold on now. We going somewhere that I don't like, all right? because
no, but I'm saying it could work both ways. I'm saying why, not to justify nobody cheating or anything like that. But
oh, okay, please reel it back in because I was about to,
no,
I was about to have an out-of-body experience.
No. I'm not justifying no one cheating on nobody. But I'm saying sometimes you have to look at the situation because I'm just talking from a man's point of view, they're ready to demonize him. Instead of trying to understand, why did he go out?
Sorry.
Uh-oh. Why did he go out there? Oh, even the vice versa. Why did she go out there?
Hey, Carl.
Well, what we're going to do right now, Alex, before you comment, first I want to thank Chris for joining the conversation. He had to leave. But we're going to bring on Ricky right now.
Ricky, I'm going to leave too, but let's bring on Ricky.
He's biting at the bit to get on. He wants us to tell a story, so... Please welcome my brother, Ricky.
Hey, what's up,
hey.
Ricky?
What's
hey.
Going on?
What's the deal?
Everything all right?
Yeah, hey,
you know.
All right.
I'm sitting here listening to stuff.
I'm
going
to go to jail now.
That's what
we're talking about. The woman who got uppercut by the bus driver.
That's not what I mean, but sometimes people get pushed to a point. Like you said, they could have started the relationship real good, but maybe something happened, and the other person may push the person away.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Ricky, what
that's
say
that's
you on
not
well,
justifying him going out there, but I'm saying sometimes
well,
you have to look at the whole picture.
Okay.
I totally agree with the brother. That's the first thing I wanted to say. First of all, I got 3 points I want to make real quick. First, and I got a story for you. But first of all, the Tawana Brawley story, the girl should have went to jail.
Yes.
All that came about because she was hanging out in the street, running behind boys, doing whatever in the street, and knew she was going to get a behind with when she got home.
Okay.
Her lies cost a man his career. Austin Maddox lost his license to practice law because of her lies. You understand? She should have went to jail for that. We're talking about cheating. Right? You just said something about cheating. We have to understand, so we get in relationships. We want to do everything we possible to reel that person in, even though that's not really who you are. So you're doing all the sexual stuff. You're doing everything to reel that person in. Then when you get the person, 2-3 years down the line, you don't want to do these things anymore. Okay? If he's looking for oral sex or she looking for oral, you don't want to do that no more because, I don't do that. Well, you did it in the beginning. I ain't actually do it. You did it in the beginning. How come you can't do it now? You understand? So you have a responsibility when you're in a relationship. You have a responsibility to tend to that person's needs on both sides. What they want. You should be asking those questions before you even get into a relationship about what you want. You don't start something and have a person all open and then 2 years down the line somebody you don't do those things no more. That's not correct. So then you're going to force them to go out there and cheat because if I'm used to getting oral sex and now you tell me you don't do it, I got to go get it because that's a part of my sex life missing now. So I got to go out there and get that. You ain't doing it.
It's
I'm not putting no vacuum cleaner holes to my joint.
Okay.
I got to go get it from somewhere.
Alan,
now, one more thing.
We
talked about.
That's a crowd.
Now, one more thing before anyone could chime in. We were talking about, again, people going to jail for their lives. I had a friend, and he was very good to his wife. He had 3 daughters, raising his kids, going to work every day. He couldn't grow with his wife. She wouldn't save the money. She always wanted to spend this and that. He was miserable. So he says, look, this ain't working. I'll leave, but I'll take care of my kids, this and that. Now, she mad because he want to leave. She don't want him to go nowhere. So she poisons the daughter's mind to say that he was molesting her.
Wrong.
He gets locked up for 6 years of his life. He loses not only his 6 years of his life, his job, his reputation, everything went to pot. because this woman lied. When his daughter got older, she went and tried to clear his name because she said it never happened. My mother made me do it. It never happened. So what happens to that person who does that?
Exactly.
Should go do 20 years for that nonsense? You took away everything from that man.
That's it.
Okay.
That's my point.
Well, in these cases, you describe the case very detailed. And when I said earlier, I don't believe that a person should go to jail for 20 years for lying, but I do believe that they should go to jail and they should receive some type of penalty.
Right.
Or the same time that person was going to get. That they have to pay back to that individual. Here's the thing. It should equal
the punishment. The crime should equal the punishment. The punishment should equal the crime.
The punishment should equal the crime in the sense that, okay, and in this instance, this man lost 6 years of wages. And whatever that would add up to. Well,
right.
He should be accountable for that. Not so much the daughter, because the daughter was a minor and she was influenced
mm-hmm.
by her mother. Her mother should be held accountable.
Exactly.
Right. Her mother should definitely be held accountable. I absolutely agree.
And that's what I'm talking about. She should go to jail. And you should get whatever that man was going to get. Now, if you went up there and you lied and almost got this man locked up for 10 years and they found out you were lying, you do the 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
You
that
had no benefit. If you took that man's life away from him for 10
so
years,
you
now you need to see how it would have been.
You got to eliminate the statute of limitations then.
Yeah, exactly. That's
well,
what would happen.
Well, then eliminate it. If that's the case, when it comes down to something like that, eliminate it.
Look, you know, right is right, wrong is wrong. The problem with the criminal justice system is it's not about right, wrong. It's not about justice and injustice. It's simply about winning and losing.
That's it.
You got prosecutors who knowingly throw innocent people in jail because they don't want a loss on their record.
Well, there's a difference between justice and the law.
Right.
We all know that.
Big difference. Mm-hmm. Big difference. You know?
No, that's a bottom line. It's basically about, when it comes down to the system, it's about winning and losing. Nothing else.
Nothing else
matters.
You can take on cases all the time.
They know persons are innocent, and they trying to throw them in jail knowing they're innocent. Look at when that brother in Texas became the district attorney, and he reviewed all those cases. And people were getting out of jail like crazy. They knew a lot of men didn't do what they did. The man was in there for 20, 25 years, lost their lives and stuff, find out that it was all lies. But these guys pushed these cases because they had to get somebody.
Right.
And they had to look, because later on they want to run for public office or something.
But
it's all a joke.
There's no objectivity because I got personal motives involved.
Mm.
So they just talking about the criminal justice system playing with people's lives for their own career up movement, if you want to call it that way, the up movement. But back to the driver, I just happened to, while we were talking, see that there's a petition going around for him to get his job back.
Really?
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that link with me, Carl. I want to, since Ricky just joined us and previously Red joined us, I want to hear their take on this bus driver situation. First, I'll ask Red, what do you think about this woman that got uppercut? Did you see the video?
Actually, no, I still haven't seen the video. I'm trying to work the nerve up to see the video. And that's only because I have an issue with just seeing a woman be beat down by a man.
It's a good right hook, though.
I'm sure it was amazing. But
no, it wasn't a right hook. It was definitely an uppercut.
He lifted her
off the ground by her chin. It was definitely an uppercut.
Right. But in this case, no, she shouldn't have spit on him. Absolutely not. definitely shouldn't have antagonized the situation. She knows she was wrong trying to get on the bus for free for whatever the reason may have been, and she shouldn't have slapped him. I'm not sure if she slapped him. That was showed on the video or not, but I heard that she slapped him. I mean, I don't know. The story's going all over the place with different versions. Should he lose his job? No, nope, I don't believe that he should. He was defending himself. He was defending the passengers on the bus.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Should he have hit her with the force that he did? I don't think I agree with that part of it. I think that, yes, he should have physically removed her, but hitting her the way he hit her and her body removing itself from the ground, I don't know. I just have this vision of this cartoon where you see them bludgeoning the hell out of one of the characters. You know that ain't real because it's a cartoon. But in this case, this is real. So I could just imagine how many other women and children were on the bus that day witnessing that and what type of effect that took on them. And do those people even still ride the bus? Because I would have been traumatized. So I don't know. I mean, I'm on the fence. No, I don't think he should be penalized or he shouldn't lose his job or whatever. No, I don't believe that. But should he have hit her with the force that he hit her, knowing that he was twice her weight? I don't know if I agree with that part. So,
okay. Someone's getting feedback, but
well,
here's what I want to do. Carl, can you stay with us for about 5 more minutes?
Sure.
Okay. I want to get to... And, Ricky, when we come back from our throwback, I want you to speak on this, and then I want Paul to have an opportunity to close this particular topic. But tonight's second throwback is a song that I know is near and dear to all of us that are 60s and 70 baby. I love this song. It's by GQ, Disco Nights.
Thank you.
And we're back. You're Free Life Radio, and I'm your girl, Bree, and we're freestyling. That was GQ's Disco Nights. That was the second highest rated song on my page that the listeners wanted to hear, so I'm glad that I could bring it to them. And since we have Ricky, our music historian, on the show right now, why don't you tell us about Disco Nights?
Oh, well, Disco Nights,
when did it come out?
The biggest. It came out in 78, but it's probably one of the biggest disco songs in the history of disco. Raheem is actually somebody who's going to be on my production team when we do this soundtrack and everything for this film. But GQ was that was a great group, man. Although they made a good fortune off doing the remakes from Billy Stewart, I Do Love You and Sit in the Park. But that Disco Nights was up. That was awesome. So.
Okay, well, you have the floor right now. And could someone check their feedback, possibly? And we're being joined tonight, listeners, with Carl Joseph. He is the program director of Jericho Road, the domestic violence organization. My co-host and sister in love, Red Sable, and Ricky Leith, who is going to be airing a show real soon on the Bryce Radio Network. So stay tuned.
Right. Yeah, we'll talk about the show at another date. But let me just follow up, you know, what y'all were just talking about with the. I saw the video.
Can someone
and,
please feedback? Please check for your feedback.
Yeah,
okay.
Are we all right now?
It's like the scratching noise or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if someone has an earpiece on or
a piece or something that is just awful.
Yeah. Well, that sounds a little better. Yeah, it's still coming off and on, but.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Okay. I saw the video. Now, the way I feel about things, and I'm not, you know, taking no shots at women here, whatever the case is. But you know what? You get what you ask for. Now, she hit him, and she spit on him. Now, to me, the lowest thing you could do to a person is spit on him. Mm-hmm. You spit on me, she would have got the uppercut, and she'd have been wearing my left shoe. Because there's no way you're going to sit up there and spit on me and all that other nonsense. The problem a lot of times is you have women who go around hitting on men, and then when men retaliate, they go, oh, I'm a female. Well, you know what? I'm female. And you got no business putting your hands on me or nobody else and don't expect to get hit back. Now, what if a woman would have uppercutted her like that? Would we be talking about this right now? If he had spit on a woman bus driver and hit that woman got up and said, oh, you going to jail now, and gave her uppercut, would we be discussing this right now? No, we wouldn't be discussing this because it's a woman hitting a woman. And I say to all of you people out here who have sons and brothers, if he had a woman, your son or your brother had a woman that was beating on him.
You want him to hit her back.
You would want him to hit her back, or you would go over there and beat her behind. You would take you, your daughters, or whoever, and go over there and jump on that woman. So either way, it's going to be some violence. The bottom line is he cut through the middleman. I'm not waiting for nobody. She spit on me. She hit me. She get it back. The first thing you taught by your parents when you go to school is if somebody hits you, you hit them back. And if you can't beat them, you pick up something and bust their head wide open with it. That's what I was told by my parents. Boy or girl, you keep your hands to yourself. And I never hear women fessing up to that. Keep your hands to yourself. You don't hit nobody and go, your punches don't hurt, my punches don't hurt, or I'm a female. Keep your hands to yourself, and you ain't got to worry about getting hit.
That's right. I agree with that. I'm not talking about continuous domestic violence, continual beating. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you have no right putting your hands on me, and I got the right to put it because that's what I'm talking about. You want to hit me, then I have the right to hit you back.
It's defense. It's self-defense.
Right. Especially if you're going to come to me like a man. If you're going to come to me like a man, yeah, then expect to be treated like one.
It's as simple as that. And now you got these so-called females running around looking like dudes, trying to act like guys. So you want to come at me now when you get your behind whip, you a female?
I'm sorry. Did you say something, Red?
I said those are not females, honey.
They're not ladies. There you go. They're not ladies.
They female when you're beating them up. They start with that, I'm a female. That's the first thing they were saying on the bus. That's a female. Well, a female would act like a lady and sit your ass down, you understand, and act like a lady. You understand? You want to act other than a lady, you get treated other than a lady.
That's
okay?
Right.
A dog bit my mother one day. My mother bit the dog back. Are you supposed to sit up there and say, I'm not gonna bite the dog back or retaliate against the dog? You do something, you do it back.
I think it's the same way you tell a kid, Don't do that. Okay, you're gonna have to learn. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like when you tell, don't touch the fire, don't do that.
Yep.
Put your hand in, you're gonna get burnt. So you let them put it in, they'll never go back. I think if a woman lay her hands on you one time, make her never do it again. And that don't mean beat her to a pulp, but I'm going to hit you back.
Yep. Now, I ain't going into all that because I've never believed in beating on no woman.
I have to interject.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the uppercut was necessary?
Was right.
Wait. He's over twice her weight.
I don't care.
Did you see how after he uppercut her and then threw her off the bus, she got back on the bus, she again, and then he grabbed her head and was shaking her around like a raggedy Ann doll.
Give her credit for that.
Why not just lift her behind off the bus and toss it off and close the doors so she couldn't get back on the bus?
Yeah, he could have done that too, but you can't. Yeah, I mean, that's somebody who may be thinking rationally.
Then call the police.
Yeah, he could have done that.
Well, the question I have is, what did you say?
I said I didn't know that she got back on the bus after he knocked her out.
Yeah.
Like, how did she get back on the bus?
He uppercut her, pushed her off the bus, grabbed her coat, threw it at her, and then she got back on the bus, slapped him, and then he grabbed her by her head. The ponytail weave she had on flew up in the air. He grabbed her head and shook her around like a Raggedy Ann doll.
Wait a minute. Hold up. Once she got pushed off the bus, she should have just stayed off the bus. She came back.
That's what I'm saying. At that point, he should have closed the doors and then called dispatch and called the police.
He jumped back on the bus. He wasn't there to control the call of the bus.
It would have been different if it was just her and him, but you had the safety of the passenger. You don't know what she had on her. You don't know if she had a weapon or if she had a gun. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You have to think of everybody, not just yourself.
And I want someone to answer this question for me. If it was a woman, bus driver, and she got up and uppercutted her like that,
wouldn't
we be having this conversation?
But first of all,
Layla Ali, how many other women you see uppercutting another woman?
I see women out here knocking brothers out. They taking Tybo now. What's that, Zumba, Marshall Arts, all that stuff. Are you crazy? The women out here kicking men's behinds now.
Right.
Ain't no more of that stuff. Like Eddie Murphy said back in 1983, ain't no more of that smacking a woman and she going, oh,
You know, they
no,
they
She should have never went back at him. And as a as a bus driver, you had a responsibility.
Yeah, no business
to
getting on that bus.
Right.
Back on the bus.
She had no business getting on the bus. But after he kicked her off, he should have closed the door in terms of protecting the rest of the passengers.
Why didn't he just get back on, close the door for the safety of one else, and then go and call the police or go on?
Now you tell me the whole scenario. Yeah, if it was just a initial thing, but when she came back, he should have, once he kicked her off, he should have closed the doors and kept going or moved the bus on. But in terms of for the safety of the passengers, you don't know if there were children on there. You don't know what. You don't know if she had a weapon on her. You don't know that. So in terms of not knowing that, okay, let me think of the passengers on the bus.
And see, what you guys may not realize, the reason why this video is on YouTube because one of the passengers is responsible for that. And the passenger that was videoing the incident, as well as the surrounding passengers, were laughing at this woman. So, like you said, if she had a weapon and she was tossed off the bus after getting uppercut and she hear everybody laughing at her, she could have came back on there and hurt a bunch of people.
Yeah.
Right.
She was upset.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd have let her back on the bus just to get my shoe out of her ass. Then I'd have pushed her back off.
Oh, Lord.
Okay, on that note, I do have to go.
No.
Well, very much, Carl.
Okay, thank
all
you right. for joining us, Carl.
All right.
Carl,
bye-bye.
Do you also want to mention the upcoming walk?
Oh, yeah. We have the Domestic Violence Walkathon October 27th in Battery Park in Lower Manhattan at 8 o'clock. The registration fee is $10, and we're asking those who may want to donate pledge $20. Those pledges will go toward our domestic violence scholarship program for those who've been in domestic violence in terms of maybe a high school student graduating or a man or woman who's been in domestic violence situation and they want to continue their education to better themselves, and that we offer scholarships, and that's what the money will go for. So if you're interested, just go to Facebook and bring up Carl Joseph, and you'll see my events page. You'll see the website and all the information for the walkathon.
All right. My brother.
You heard it.
Thank you.
From Jericho Roads.
From Jericho
and
Road, Inc.
Thank you for participating in our very colorful conversation.
Well, I thank you for inviting me, Sabrina, and it was very colorful. But, you know, I like to talk. I think most people need to talk to get this stuff out.
Yeah.
All right. True that. Mm-hmm.
Talk to you later.
Take care, brother. Well, we're going to take a break, and I'm going to ask Ricky and Sable, the Red Sable, to stick around because I have to play. I absolutely have to play the second song that was the highest voted song on my page, and it is, and you know what? On behalf of my mother, I'm going to play this song for her because there are a lot of things that she was right about. It's Junior's Mama Used to Say.
Small boy once asked, when will I
And we're back. That was Junior. Mama used to say, circa what, our resident historian of music, Ricky?
That was a jam. You know, I was working, I remember when that song came out, I was working at a printing factory. They used to give me like a stack to do the raffles. They used to give me a stack of papers, probably about 1,000, 2,000 papers. I had to do all that for a dollar. You know, for every stack I did, I got a dollar, you know. But I used to love that. That song got me through all that because that song was always on the radio. That was a big hit. That was Junior. Wasn't he born in England?
Yes, I was sitting here watching the video while I was playing the song, and if you remember the end of the song, he had an ironing board up with, and he had a cup and saucer with a pot of tea. So you knew right away that he was British.
Yeah, God bless his soul.
Yeah. But I want to thank the both of you for sticking around. I'm joined with Red Sable, my co-host, and Ricky, our music historian. You know, you didn't happen to tell us, Ricky, what year did that song come out? Do you remember?
That was around the same year. That was about, what was that? No, that was, I'm sorry.
That came out in 80, 81. Yeah.
That came out.
So, Red, I know that there was a topic that we were supposed to touch on. We could take a couple of minutes, and I do want to revisit that topic because I want to I want that topic to take up an entire show. And that was but why don't you explain? Because that's your segment.
Yeah, well, it's a little bit more detailed, but a brief overview would be what would be the limit, or is there a limit? Let's just put it this way. When is age a factor in whether or not you should still be hot or should you please make it stop? And the reason why I came up with that is because I was watching the show, and there was a woman on there who happens to be the mother of a rapper, and she's up in age, well up in age, because he's well up in age. So she has this new perfume out, and the perfume is supposed to smell between the crosses of money and punani. For, you know, better corrected word today. And so she put the two together, and she decided that women want to walk around smelling like her because she is all essences of the JJ and money. And so there was this video where she would float through this crowded bar, and there was the scent wafting in the air, and the people were suddenly taken aback by this odor. They would stop what they're doing, and they would all in unison say, "Punkash, Punkash," because they And I just found it interesting that she shouldn't market herself, or that she shouldn't try to make her money, or that she should. I just found it really interesting that she would think that would be something that people would want to buy and use and say they were using it. Like, what would you do on a date if the woman you were dating said after you asked her, "Oh, that's an interesting scent," and she said, "Oh, well, I'm wearing the JJ and money." What would you say to that? And I'm not going to keep saying the name because I don't want to market a product for her. But
right.
At the end of the day, what would you say to that, Rick? As a man, would you want? I just couldn't imagine having a conversation. "Oh, yeah, that's what I'm wearing." You're wearing what would be the reaction that I should have gotten? What do you mean? What you're wearing? What?
Well, there's a few different fragrances that'll come out of Panani, but
you know, let's not, you know, let's not get into those, because you remember what the blind man said when he walked past the fish market every morning. He would say, "Good morning, ladies." So let's not, you know, I don't really know, you know, but if I know if I smell something like that, I'd be asking, "Yo, what's the deal?" You know what I'm saying?
Well, okay. But
you know,
now,
you know, wash before, you know.
But when you say, okay, but do you envision a woman in her 60s?
No.
Well, you're saying that.
No.
See what I'm saying? That's my whole point. My whole point is I don't have an issue with the name, the scent, the meshing of the two. My thing is, why not have had someone younger in the video? Why are you all up in the video floating through the air and smiling and, you know, looking everyone else in the room? Like, what is that? What is that?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's no more morals in society anymore. You know what I'm saying? You know, that's a mature woman, and she needs to act her age. You know what I mean? You know, so.
No. That is an older woman, because maturity has nothing to do with who she is, because if she was mature and demure, she wouldn't want to develop a product like that. That, I mean, I just don't get it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We do need to examine this behavior, because I was out to dinner about 2 months ago. And it's one of the famous seafood chains. And, you know, you have a very long wait at this particular restaurant. So me and my date were standing outside of the restaurant. And behind us was a woman, and she had this tight spandex dress with this big stomach. It was a mini dress. She had high heels on that was as high as stilts, and she could barely walk in the shoes. And my date is looking at me, because I'm, of course, you know, anyone who knows me, or if you learned about the sound of my voice, just imagine what my face looked like. And I was trying to control the shock that I had. But I just, you know, I can't believe this woman looked as though she could be in her late 50s. She had no business wearing a leopard print spandex mini dress with high heel shoes.
Yeah, I understand that. I never did. And then on top of that, they have on these shoes, and their feet too fat for the shoes, and the fat hanging all outside the shoe. They look like they got elephantitis and all kind of nonsense. I'm like, you know, I don't get it. I really don't get it with that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, a 50-something-year-old woman walking around like that?
But no. See, now, what does the 50-year-old-something woman look like, Halle Berry? Because Halle's going to be 50 soon, in a couple of years. What if that was Halle Berry?
Well, I always felt that, you know, women should dress like ladies, period. You know, eye candy, you know, you see somebody in the street, you know, it's eye candy, this and that. But most men don't want their woman walking around like that. You may have some men who don't mind, but most men don't want their woman walking around like that. And I've always been the guy, thank God, I've always had women, at least my wife now, dresses very conservative. Very conservative. That's what I like. I'm not did all of that, because sex appeal, you can't wear sex appeal. You know, it's just something you have. Mm-hmm. And I think that right now a lot of women feel like, you know, being sexy means walking around like that. And you could be sexy and have on farmer pants. You know, so, you know,
exactly.
I've always been one that preferred a lady to dress very conservative. You know, leave something for the imagination.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, what I'd like to do at this time, about to wrap it up, but I want to thank all of the participants of the freestyle I want to remind you that we air the Bree Life Radio Show on Wednesdays at 9 p.m. and the Freestyle on Thursdays at 9 p.m. And in closing, I want to wish you all peace and blessings, and thank you for listening to Bree Life Radio.
Thank you for having us on.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.